Good evening and welcome to the Empowerment Hour, heard every Monday evening, 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on 920thevoice.com and 920 a.m. This is John Harmon, President and CEO of the African American Chamber of Commerce of New Jersey. We have two exciting guests today. Our first guest will be talking about some desserts, and I think just from the interview, we probably will put on some pounds, and followed by a lady that is doing God's work in the city of Camden, New Jersey. But before we go to today's guest, we'd just like to just take a minute of reflection on the recent passing of Julian Bond at the age of 75 years old. And from what I hear, he died in his sleep. And clearly that is the way that many of us hope that we would leave this earth after a lifelong effort of advocacy. Yeah, lifelong sustained level of advocacy for civil rights and advocating on behalf of those who could not advocate for themselves. He had a strong voice in opposition to the Vietnam War and for a number of years served as the chairman of the board for the NAACP. So America has lost a true warrior today, and our prayers is with his family. And the hope that his legacy will be continued in the days to come. Again, Julian Bond, dead at the age of 75. Before we move to our guest, couple brief announcements, and we'll get right into the program. Please go to AACCNJ.com to find out more in terms of what's going on at the African American Chamber of Commerce of New Jersey. We have an exciting event next week, Women Who Empower Awards Luncheon. And kicking the luncheon off will be our Lieutenant Governor, Kim Guadagno, August 26, 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. at the Wyndham Philadelphia, held in Mount Laurel, New Jersey. And that's an interesting name, Wyndham Philadelphia, but it's located in Mount Laurel, New Jersey. I guess it's a tale of two states, two cities. But yeah, we encourage you to find your way to get there. Information can be found at AACCNJ.com or 609-571-1620. Our keynote speaker following a panel presentation will be Beverly Jennings. She's head of the Office of Supplier Diversity and Inclusion for Johnson & Johnson. And our two panelists will be Kimberly Haynes, founder and CEO of OMBI Group, based in Atlanta. She's also the manager for the artist Neo, and she has a number of athletes and entertainers under her management. And Rashia Brown, former WNBA player and founder of the basketball alumni, she will also be on tap to talk about women participating in traditionally industries for men, and they'll talk about the good, bad, and the ugly. So should be an interesting conversation. And then lastly, we're going to recognize four distinguished women who have done a lot to support the African American Chamber of Commerce of New Jersey. Ms. L. Rhonda Williams Austin, she's an attorney, a regulatory officer, and a legislative analyst for the New Jersey Division of Taxation, New Jersey Department of Treasury, but also she's the former president of the Association of Black Women Lawyers. Carolyn Chang, Esquire, who's not only the mayor of West Hampton Township, but also an attorney. Betty Lou DeCroce, assemblywoman, New Jersey District 26 of Mars, Essex, and Passaic County. And then last but not least, our very own Dr. Beverly Richardson, vice president of special projects of Rowan College of Burlington County. So, again, AACCNJ.com for information or 609-571-1620. Now we'll turn to our first guest, Mr. George Baines. He is the co-owner of My Mom's Coffee Shop. Now, that name in itself makes you want to just put a chair up to the table and just wait. George, welcome to the Empowerment Hour.
Thank you. I'm glad to be on.
Well, we got a lot of ground to cover today, sir, and we're delighted that you would join us today. And we want to talk a little bit about your background leading to the establishment of this business. And so we'll start off by saying, you know, where are you from, and what size, you know, number of siblings, college, and all those kind of things.
Okay, well, I'm from Williamstown.
Okay.
And then, you know, I moved to Camden in the seventh grade, and I graduated from Camden High, class of 89.
Okay.
And from there, I went on to Glassboro, and I majored in business administration, and my concentration was management information systems.
Okay. You're an IT guy, yeah?
I'm an IT guy.
Now, you come from a large family, small family?
Yeah. I have two brothers and three sisters.
Okay.
So,
So a guy... Now, this business is co-owned, correct? Are you the sole owner? I just want to clarify that.
Oh, I mean, I'm the sole owner. I'm the sole owner right now.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Well, anyway, let's get right into it. You're located in downtown's Williamstown, New Jersey, and so first and foremost, before we start to talk about the variety of desserts that you prepare. My first question is, you know, how did an IT guy start, you know, making cakes?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, from an IT perspective, I traveled all over the country and did a lot of different things in terms of technology. And a few years back, maybe 10 years back, I found my grandmother's recipe and started to make the pound cake.
Wow.
And, people started liking it, and I was like, wait a second here, I could start a business.
So, some people go up in the closet or in the attic and they find, you know, old pictures and gold coins and those types of things. But you found a few recipes and turned that into gold coins, huh?
Oh, yeah, I did. I mean, I grew up eating my grandmother's pound cake, and one day, I don't know, I was doing something, and I found a recipe book. And I was like, I'm going to make this. So
the name the name of the business, I have My Mom's Coffee Shop. Is that correct?
My Mom's Coffee House.
Okay. So My Mom's Coffee House. So I'm assuming that's what you called your grandma.
I called her my mom, yes. Mm-hmm.
And I call my grandma Big Mama. and she was an excellent baker as well, so it must be something about them M's in the name or something. So why? I understand you found the recipe. I understand that you, you made your first cake or two. Not only did you like it, you found others to like it as well. But... this business does not totally align with what you're doing, so there's some risk in here making this leap. Let's talk to us about that a little bit.
This certainly is a risk, but I've always wanted to own my own business.
Okay.
And, you know, I like making a pound cake, and I'm just following my passion.
Okay.
You know, I know how to do computers and IT and routers and switches. Now I want to know how to bake the best pound cake in the world, you know. So it's just a passion of mine to want to grow and make the business successful in whatever I'm doing.
So I think that's the audience would appreciate that, because they often say if you don't be in business to make, you know, just for money, but you got to be profitable, or it's not worth being in business. But you got to do stuff that you like doing, and they say the money will follow. So talk, you know, share with our listeners, kind of walk us through some of the initial steps taken in the process of of establishing this dessert business. Yeah, you found the recipe in the closet. You blew the dust off of it. And I'm sure you had to kind of translate. Now, I'm sure it wasn't typed, so you had to translate my mom's handwriting. To, you didn't mistake sugar for salt or anything like that, right?
No, I did not. It's funny you should say that because, you know, what's funny about older people, their handwriting was, like, perfect.
Really?
You know? You know, my grandmother's handwriting was, you know, just beautiful, you know, so...
Wow.
No, I didn't get no mistakes made.
That's great to know. I mean, you know, I'm sure you've had a prescription written a time or two, and God knows, I don't know how the pharmacy interprets what these doctors are writing, man. It looks like just a foreign language to me, but somehow, you know, you get the drug. So you found the recipe, and you went on. So just walk us through as best you can about... You know, you took this recipe and started the business. Walk us through that process a little bit, because I'm sure there's some folks that are listening today that have had some similar experiences, and they may not have taken your route, and your route might be something that they can consider now or in the future.
Well, yeah, sure. In the beginning, I did a lot of events to test out the pound cakes. Like, for example, I would do Philly Manor Cooking, which is an event with a whole bunch of people, test out different flavors and, you know, see which flavors they like. I would do, you know, some charity events. Just go out there and present my pound cake and see, you know, what the customer likes.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, you know, I settled in on a particular... you know, mixture, my ingredients and stuff. And then I started to research packaging, the food specialty market, how to bring a product to market. I also talked with a lot of advisors, you know, Rutgers Small Business Administration. I did an initial business plan on what I wanted to do. Like, for example, right now I have my mom's coffee house, but in the beginning I wasn't even thinking of a coffee house.
Gotcha.
I was thinking online sales.
Right, so let's go back a second, and because I think you're getting to a part of this this conversation that I really want to drill down a little bit about, mm-hmm. you know, what's the best route to pursue, and you kind of did your test marketing, but what about... you know, the initial feedback you may have gotten from some of these events that you participated in, and how did that affect your ingredients? Did you get any feedback that was good or bad?
Any feedback is good, whether bad or positive. So I took it all in. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't please everybody.
Right.
But I would, for example, use a particular flour.
Mm-hmm.
To see if they liked it, you know, and they would come back and say, well, this is kind of dry, or, you know, and I would say, interesting, you know, and, you know, I would try something else, you know. But, yeah, any feedback I got, I wanted, you know, good or bad, because I was trying to perfect the product. It's the recipe is my grandmother's initial recipe, but I had to tweak it because I'm thinking of mass production.
Right.
You know, my grandmother, she made, you know, three or four cakes at one time. I'm going to make 100.
Gotcha. Well, why don't we stop right here and take our first break, and we'll come back to you. Just stand by here a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to George Baines. He's the owner of My Mom's Coffee House, located in Williamstown, New Jersey, here on the Empowerment Hour. This is John Harmon, 920thevoice.com and 920 AM. We'll be back in a minute.
They call it the great imposter because at first rosacea can seem like a sunburn or acne or even irritated eyes. 16 million Americans have this life-disruptive disorder, yet most don't know it. Rosacea usually begins with facial redness that gradually gets worse. Left untreated, bumps and pimples and even eye problems may develop. If you have any sign of rosacea, see a dermatologist or visit the National Rosacea Society website, rosacea.org.
Welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. And again, I want to encourage you to join us for our Women Who Empower Awards luncheon at August 26th from 11:30 to 1:30 p.m. I'm sorry, at the Wyndham, Philadelphia, in Mount Laurel, New Jersey. Information, aaccnj.com or 609-571-1620. And before the break, George, we were talking about the feedback that you received. You know, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to George Baines. He is the owner of My Mom's Coffee House in Williamstown, New Jersey. And he talked about his own focus group where he did events throughout the community to just to get his product out there, and took constructive criticism and then went back into the kitchen to perfect his recipe. And now he has a number of mouth-watering desserts that he serves at the My Mom's Coffee House located in downtown Williamstown, New Jersey. So, George, why don't we just pick up on the feedback there? You said all feedback is good, no matter if it's bad or if it's favorable.
Yeah, that's right. So I took that feedback not in a negative way, but a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
And I would tell people, you know, just tell me the truth. What do you think? Because everybody makes pound cake differently.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has their own taste buds and how they think it should taste.
Mm-hmm.
And so my specific recipe was based on my grandmother's recipe.
Mm-hmm.
So I took that feedback in a positive way.
So how would you describe your cakes? I mean, are they with extra butter? Are they real moist? Are they dry, have like a little texture that requires you to have a tall glass of milk with them? Talk to me a little bit.
Just enough butter. Just enough of everything, you know.
So has this slow economy, has it, how have things been? Has the economy helped you? Has it hurt you? Are people still eating with all the health concerns about, you know, cut back on all the butter and all the sweets? What's going on? Talk to me about the business. Why should folks come to partake in your desserts?
Well, the economy is interesting, specifically the specialty food industry. This year, they're projected to make over $115 billion.
Wow.
So the specialty food market is good. It is growing. Last year, I think it was 110.
Wow.
So, or it was 114 last year. So it's growing. So customers want a all-natural dessert. They want desserts with no artificial flavorings and colorings and all that other GMO stuff. They don't like that. You know, they want 7 ingredients when they eat something, you know, or 5 ingredients.
Gotcha.
And so my business is positioned to fulfill those needs. So, the economy, you know, the economy may fluctuate, but I was over at, for example, I was over at Wegmans the other day, and that place was packed.
Gotcha. So if you believe what some folks say, I know the stock market is burning hot, that the economy, because the growth is not, this may be the new normal, 4 or 5%, we have a bad economy. So when people are worried, they eat more. Maybe that's it. Maybe there's a correlation between a slowed economy and folks having comfort food.
They eat more. They go to farmers markets and get those fresh vegetables and fresh pastries that are homemade and all natural. There's a lot of farmers markets going around, so it's pretty big. So my product is right in line with that type of customer.
So how do you promote the facts? I think that's a very good point you're making, that your cakes are made with all natural ingredients and versus some of the artificial stuff that people put in food. How does your customers know that that your cakes are made the right way? How about that?
Well, first, when you taste it, you're going to know this is not the normal pound cake that you get from the store. This is a homemade pound cake. This is an all-natural pound cake. So the customer knows that when they taste it. Also, my packaging, I have, you know, on my packaging, it does say all natural and the ingredients are on it.
So you're saying that, you know, Sims used to have a saying, the educated consumer is our best customer. So I guess you're saying a real pound cake lover can know the difference between something that's bought off the shelf, something that's homemade prepared, huh?
Absolutely. I was at a farmer's market the other day, and they wanted samples. I said, you don't need a sample. I stand by this product. You're going to love it.
You sound like the Don King of pound cakes, my man. Nah, I think you know, promoting your own business is I think is phenomenal. So describe, you gave us a few examples of Wegmans and the farmer's market, et cetera. But describe, if you could, without giving away some secrets, you know, your current client base. And you know, what are you looking to do with this business?
Well, right now, my plan is to expand my business in the South Jersey, Philly area, Delaware area.
Mm-hmm.
And how I do that is I look like, for example, upscale hotels and restaurants.
Okay.
Who have like commissaries and things like that. I actually call them, meet with the chef, and present my product.
Gotcha.
I'm in a couple of hotels in Philly right now.
Okay.
And you know, we do hospitals, local coffee houses.
Okay.
So there is there's a lot of business out there.
So you want to continue to try to penetrate this Delaware Valley region and really put your cakes right in the right direct connection with the customer, either in a retail establishment, and you mentioned hospitals, folks are always sitting around as they're checking up on their loved ones, and to have a good piece of cake with a cup of coffee while you're sitting is just what the doctor ordered. That's what you're saying.
Exactly. Yes. To saturate this market and then grow from there. I mean, you know, there's enough in this market to where I can be successful, and then from there go national.
So, talk about the variety of cakes that you have. How many flavors do you have? Just traditional pound cake, strawberry shortcake. Talk to me.
I had
you laughing.
I had about 25 different flavors.
Okay.
And I'm always thinking up new flavors depending on what the customer wants. You know, I was at the Fancy Food Show and I got a couple ideas up in New York where, you know, customers there are so much looking for healthy products. And so now I'm introducing hemp seed into my product line, flax seed. Chai seeds, you know, so, and these are unique flavors with my, all natural, extracts that, you know, customers like.
Well, I was just starting, you know, you were dropping all these seeds. I'm glad you hadn't been to Colorado because you probably dropped some other types of seeds.
I thought about it.
In your cake. So they will have develop a continual appetite for the cake once they, but there has to be some customer favorites for retail and or commercial. And I know, yeah, reading some, you know, doing some research on your organization, there's a few things that a few of your customers do with your cake, your cupcakes, for instance, Lynn's Water Ice and Lindenwall. What do they do with your cupcakes?
Well, it's Lynn's Water Ice, and they do several things. They buy what I call cake chips. That's another product line I sell. I sell them to custard shops, ice cream places. They are small, mini pound cakes that you put in your parfaits. And so a lot of times these ice cream places, they are all kinds of strawberry parfaits, pineapple parfaits. Well, Lena's Water Ice uses them in their parfaits, and they sell off the shelf.
Wow. So,
and so, and also they buy my slices of pound cake, and they put like a scoop of ice cream on them. Like, they'll have like a coconut ice cream, and I'll make a coconut pound cake.
So it's almost like they're recycling the byproducts of the product and making it work for something else, huh?
Yeah.
That's very interesting. Now, what about this hollowed out cup? What is that all about?
Those are called pound cake cups. And with the pound cake cups, I put homemade whipped cream or fruit inside of it. As customers could do the same thing, I sell them to restaurants. And what you could do is put like a mousse in there, or a chocolate mousse. I had a customer who used to put a mousse in it. So there's different applications you could do with that pound cake cup. A lot of times, it's a healthy dessert because you can buy the cup and buy your fruit and everything, as opposed to Twinkies or something. It's just a healthy dessert.
Gotcha. Well, we're down to maybe about 2.5-3 minutes, so I gotta give you some questions in rapid fire. And first, how can folks find you? Because I know you're located in Williamstown, so if we can get some contact information for you, maybe someone wants you to ship them some cakes or et cetera. And what are your hours of operation?
Okay, well, first, you can go online to georgespoundcakes.com. That's George's with an S, poundcakes.com, and we ship nationally. And also, my number is 856-264-7957, and you can call to order pound cakes. Our hours, our hours are 8:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., Monday through Friday. And then Sunday I'm open from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. in the evening.
Gotcha. So you're kind of a half-day operation a few days out of the week. So if you get in early and get your cake, and then if you come too late, you got to come back tomorrow.
Well, we schedule. I mean, a lot of times I'm baking wholesale.
Gotcha.
I'm there. We're just not open in the afternoon or in the evening, but we always schedule customers to come in and pick up their cakes at any time. We're available.
So what?
On those hours.
Okay. What would you say has been your biggest challenge to date, and how have you overcome it?
Well, good question. The biggest challenge is getting the product out there. It's marketing.
Mm-hmm.
It's letting people know that there's a business out there that makes homemade pound cakes. And that's a continual challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Networking, social media, just being in the right place to present my product, and that's trade shows. So that's the biggest challenge, and it's an ongoing challenge.
Gotcha. But as you sit there now, how long have you been in business there?
Since 2012.
2012. So you're about 3 years in, and so you're about at the point now where, you know, you start to make the turn to go to the next level.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. So we're about to conclude this conversation, George, but if you could share with our listeners one more time how they could contact you, your hours, your location, that kind of thing. And hopefully today's conversation here on the Empowerment Hour will get folks salivating a little bit, and they'll go online or drop in.
Okay, well, our website is www.georgespoundcakes.com, and our number is 856-264-7957, and you give us the number, and we are willing and able to make you the best pound cake in the world.
George, I thank you so much for appearing today here on the Empowerment Hour, and we're honored to have you as a member of the African American Chamber of Commerce of New Jersey, and we'll do all we can to continue to spread the word about your business, and hopefully it will translate into more folks consuming the products that you work so hard to prepare. And again, we thank you, and we'll be in touch.
Okay, thank you for inviting me, and I'm just looking forward to the relationship with the African American Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah, maybe you could bring a handful of those cakes up to our luncheon on the 26th. And, you know,
yeah, I will.
Yeah, that's not far from you. And let's let folks taste that your great dessert. So we thank you, and we'll be in touch.
Okay, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, George Baines, he's the owner of My Mom's Coffee House in Williamstown, New Jersey. We ask that you find a way to get in touch with them and let us know how your experience with having some of those 25 varieties of pound cakes. And after the break, we'll be with, joining our next guest, Ms. Majiba Parker. She is grants manager at the Camden County Council on Economic Opportunity. We'll be back in a minute.
Did you know that insufficient folic acid consumption before and during pregnancy can lead to devastating birth defects? Over 70% of these defects, including spina bifida and anencephaly, can be prevented. I'm Susan Crosby, President of Women in Government. Women in Government wants you to know that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends that all women take a vitamin with 400 micrograms of folic acid every day. Visit womeningovernment.org.
Welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. You just had an interview with the owner of My Mom's Coffee House in Williamstown, New Jersey, Mr. George Baines, and we encourage you to reach out to Mr. Baines and put him to the test. He says he has the best pound cakes in the world, all natural ingredients, so let us know your experience. And again, we encourage you to join us next week sometime, August 26th, I want to say next Thursday. Hope that's right, for our Women Who Empower Awards luncheon from 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. at the Wyndham Philadelphia Mount Laurel Hotel in Mount Laurel, New Jersey. Opening remarks will be by our very own Lieutenant Governor Cam Guadagno, and our keynote speaker will be Beverly Jennings, Head Office of Supplier Diversity and Inclusion for Johnson & Johnson. But we'll come back to those announcements. Right now, we have Ms. Majiba Salam Parker. She is the grants manager at the Camden County Council on Economic Opportunity. Welcome, Ms. Parker, to the Empowerment Hour.
Thank you. Good afternoon, John.
How are you?
Great. I just want to thank you for having me on your show and also highlighting Camden County OEO.
Absolutely. You know, looking at the research on your background and your organization, I tell you, the listeners are in for a treat today. You've done a lot in your career, and I want to get. I'm really impressed by what we have before. So, I want to kind of get right into it. Can you talk about, prior to being the grants manager at OEO? Let's talk about a little bit of your personal background and how did you transition into this position there in Camden County?
Sure. Well, I'm originally from Newark, New Jersey, born and raised. I lived in public housing in the city, and also I attended public schools.
Okay.
My siblings, I have a total of 7 siblings.
Okay.
2 by my mother and 5 by my father.
Well, I was 7. I come from a family of 7 as well. 5 boys and 2 girls. So
okay.
I can relate.
Mm-hmm. And living in the city of Newark, I saw that there was a lot of poverty and conditions that needed to be improved. And that made me want to go on to college and to major in a field that would be able to come back and make a difference in the community.
Wow.
So I decided to go to Rutgers, mm-hmm. New Brunswick, and it was mainly because it was an excellent school, but also that it was in the state of New Jersey, which I wanted to be in the state so I could easily get back home when I wanted to, mm-hmm. but also get away from home as well.
I
stayed on campus and and it was a great experience.
Now, you majored in, you have 2 degrees from Rutgers, correct?
Yes. Yes, I have a bachelor's in urban studies and a master's in public administration, both from Rutgers.
And you interned in New York City as well for a while.
Yes, I did. For a summer, I interned for the Department of Transportation. And I also interned at a number of municipalities in New Jersey. I interned for the city of New Brunswick, their Department of Planning and Economic Development, the city of Newark. I interned in the Housing and Economic Development Division, and also for the County of Union, the Finance Department.
Wow, what a foundation. And then you spent some time at the EDA, New Jersey Economic Development Authority. And what did you do there?
I originally was the program officer working with the Business Employment Incentive Program, otherwise known as BEEP.
Okay, I
remember. It's been
that.
Around for a long time.
Yes.
It had just started in 96 when I started full-time.
Wow. And the director of program management at the Camden Empowerment Zone.
Yes. I worked there for a number of years. I originally started as a program manager where I was working with companies to locate in the city, specifically in the Empowerment Zone. I worked with a loan committee that provided loans to city businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they should also have created jobs for Camden residents.
How did you get to OEO? Did they, send a headhunter out there, knock on your door, and say, "Hey, let's make it happen"?
Yeah, actually, I knew an attorney that was working with our agency, and the prior grants manager was leaving to move on to the county, and the connection was made, and I think it was ideal. Like you said earlier, we're doing God's work. I totally agree with you.
No, so I tell you, with your background and the challenges that exist in Camden in this new renaissance, I think you're the ideal person to be in that community at this time. Talk a little bit about the organization's mission. It's how many folks work there and some of the current priorities.
Sure. Camden County OEO, as we're affectionately known as, we utilize federal, state, and local resources to provide programs and services for individuals and families with low incomes throughout the county of Camden County. And our purpose is to eliminate poverty as a destructive force in society.
Mm-hmm.
We actually were part of the community action agencies that were a result of the War on Poverty, the Economic Opportunity Act in 1964 through President Lyndon Johnson.
Okay.
So we were established 50 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you celebrate 50 years anniversary just like the Civil Rights Act. Around
right.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm connecting the dots here. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, talk about a little bit, and we're going to drill into more specific in terms of this mission on eliminating poverty. But your involvement with the Department of Community Affairs here in the state of New Jersey.
Yes. Yes, the Department of Community Affairs is the state agency or department that oversees the Community Services Block Grant, which is a federal grant under the Health and Human Services Department, and the CSBG funding is provided to community action agencies. So DCA is the agency that administers the grant and also monitors the grant performance as well. So we work very closely with them every fiscal year.
You know, what's interesting is many folks, when they talk about Dr. King, they talk about the I Have a Dream speech and the marches and all those things. But many folks don't connect the dots in terms of the Civil Rights Act and that powerful piece of legislation that led to the funding of the community development block grant funding programs, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a direct correlation between the advocacy of Julian Bond and we recently mourned his loss, but all that work that those men and women did back in the 50s and 60s to lay the foundation to really put policy in place that would help underwrite and position put the least of the, if you will, on a path of transition from poverty to more of a self-sufficiency lifestyle. That's what I was getting at.
That's our purpose, is to help these individuals to achieve self-sufficiency.
Gotcha. So let's drill down a little bit. In your mission, you talk about eliminating poverty. Clearly, it's an area of focus of your organization. And there's a lot going on in Camden. A lot of the negative headlines have kind of dissipated to some degree, but in some instances, it's a tale of two cities. Is that correct?
Well, when you say tale of two cities, you're saying that the low end, the poor versus
let me help you with that a little bit. You have a part of the city, and this is where I really want to hear from you. You have a part of the city that is positioned now, leveraging a lot of state resources to do some major development there.
Correct. Right?
And so I think what I'd like to know, and I'm sure our listeners are curious as well, as it relates to this eliminating of poverty, talk to me, if you can, about how your agency is working to bridge that gap, to help connect those folks without jobs or without the wherewithal to this renaissance that's taking place.
Yes. Okay. Yes, exactly. And with the Renaissance, there will be new jobs coming to the city. And because many of these projects receive government financing and incentives, they have a requirement to hire some Camden residents.
Fantastic.
Yes. And we offer job training and placement activities as one of our programs at Camden County OEO. And then we also have another program that really gets to the heart of eliminating poverty, because it addresses home ownership, mm-hmm. post-secondary education, and entrepreneurship. And that's our Individual Development Account Program, otherwise known as IDA.
Okay.
It's a matched savings program, so that for every dollar saved, we have a grant to match it $1, and the individuals, they go through a financial literacy mm-hmm. training program and case management and counseling, and at the end of the program, they're able to either purchase a home, start a business, or take college classes.
Wow. So I'm assuming that your agency is also a CDFI?
No, we are not.
Okay.
That's something that we could definitely look into, because we are greatly positioned to do something like that.
No, I think that's, you heard it from me. This should be maybe one of your potential objectives down the road, because one, you can be a direct steward of some additional funds and do your own leveraging, given your background.
Yes, I agree with you.
Okay, I'm speaking to
you. Yeah, definitely. I definitely agree with you.
Okay. Yeah, no, I think that'll be fantastic if you could parlay that piece in connection with some of the other things that you're doing. Why don't we do this, Majiba? We're going to take a short break here.
Okay.
And then we got a number of questions to ask you for the remaining, say, 13 minutes. And believe it or not, we've done about 17 already. So
This time is flying. great talking with you.
No, well, you have something to talk about, so you make it a lot easier. Okay. All right, so we're going to take a break. We're talking to Miss Majiba Salam Parker. She is grants manager at the Camden County Council on Economic Opportunity, better known as Camden County OEO. And John Harmon, Empowerment Hour, 920thevoice.com, 920 AM. We'll be back in a minute.
There's hundreds of fun and simple things you and your family can do to live a healthier lifestyle. Here's 20 of them. Eat less, eat slower, eat smarter, eat your fruits and veggies, stop eating before you're full, up your fiber, lower your calories, get off the bus early, do some gardening, do jumping jacks, take the stairs, take one, not two, take on a new sport, take a long walk home, walk instead of drive, bend, stretch, reach for the stars, climb the monkey bars, skip the fudge bars. Search We Can online to find more ways you and your family can get healthy together. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.
We're back here on the Empowerment Hour. This is your guest, host John Harmon, president and CEO of the African American Chamber of Commerce of New Jersey. And we're heard every Monday evening, 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 920thevoice.com and 920 a.m. And before the break, we were talking to Miss Majiba Salam Parker. She is grants manager at the Camden County OEO. And clearly, they're doing some phenomenal things in the city of Camden, New Jersey, not only to eliminate poverty, but to really position folks for the renaissance that's taking place throughout that region and get folks on the path of self-sufficiency. So, Ms. Parker, let's pick up where we left off, and I want to talk a little bit about housing, because here in the state of New Jersey, there's been some interesting things of late as it relates to housing, but years ago, there was a housing policy called Mount Laurel. I just wanted to get your take on that policy in terms of its impact in the city of Camden, and it's a law that has since been abolished.
Okay. Well, the Mount Laurel decision didn't really have much of an impact in Camden, because it said that the law said that it was unconstitutional for municipalities to exclude housing for individuals with low and moderate income.
Okay.
And so because Camden has a large population that have low or moderate incomes, there are many housing affordable housing units in the city. And even as new development is coming, a lot of it has been for low and moderate income. We're starting to now get some market rate units in. But there definitely is a lot of housing available, affordable housing available.
You know, the great thing about market rate housing, clearly, you know, when you start talking about from a biblical perspective, they say let the wheat and the tariff grow together. And when you have over concentration of low income folks in a community, it takes its toll on the whole economic standing. So
True.
Is encouraging to hear that as the city begins to improve upon its in terms of his aesthetic appeal and all the economic opportunity dollars that are coming into the city, that you put folks in a better position, not only to have a better quality of life, but also opportunities that they could sustain themselves throughout the community.
Yeah. And I actually work directly with a lot of the projects that, the housing projects that have been going up over the years, because when I was at the Empowerment Zone, we provided financing, actually investments into affordable housing units that were home ownership units. And then also when I was with EDA, I was a business development officer. I worked with the Economic Recovery Board for Camden, which was the $175 million.
Right, I remember that.
Yes, and so I worked with a number of the residential projects that were home ownership projects in the city of Camden. So there definitely has been a lot of development coming along over the years.
You know, with my earlier guest, I talked a little bit about the the importance of having a passion for what you do.
Yeah.
And so I'm assuming that there's some inherent passion within you that motivates you to persevere in this, I guess, in this profession or this area of business.
Talk
to me. Where do you get the strength to go in and do what you do, notwithstanding the environment and sometimes some of the critical circumstances that you're confronted with?
I love helping people. Wow. I truly do. That's why I went into this field. For a short time, I had a motivational business.
Okay.
It's just something that's deeply rooted in me to help individuals to the best of my ability. And I can truly say that I love my job.
Wow, that is phenomenal. And as you talk about this whole motivational business, I think, you know, that's part of what you do as well, because
Yes. You
have to be as optimistic as possible.
In the face of adversity.
Come on now. You just took the words out of my mouth. So if I'm if I'm ever out, I can call you in to back me up on the show. the same here when I'm dealing with businesses and, you know, they run into some tough times.
Right.
But you're there to encourage them because.
Absolutely.
You know, let them know they can make it, right?
Yes.
So take that, your personal perseverance and motivation and desire to help folks elevate themselves from their current standing. Describe that. Take that to the significance in terms of your organization's involvement in Camden. It kind of, if you can just, you know, paint that for the listening audience so that they could see the significance of having OEO in Camden County.
Well, it's definitely very significant that OEO, we're headquartered in Camden.
Mm-hmm.
And although we serve the entire county, most of our clients live in the city of Camden.
Okay.
And then we also have a number of facilities that are located in the city. You may not know, but we own a 132-unit garden-style apartment complex with affordable units.
I didn't know that.
Yes. So we are definitely a real estate developer and a landlord. We, about 20 years ago, we started building homes. So we've built a total of 66 homes in East Camden.
Wow.
And all of them are owned, and the owners love their property. It was brand new construction. We are also looking to break ground sometime this year for 11 units, home ownership units in Centerville.
Okay.
And we just completed a new building for homeless women in the city of Camden as well, on Kane Avenue.
Okay.
And then we also have 7 buildings that we have Head Start centers. So we lease those facilities to Head Start operations. 5 of those centers are located in Camden. And we have 3 other facilities that are for homeless men,
mm-hmm.
women, and families. So in 2014, we served a total of 103 individuals in our homeless facility.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's it. Now, contact information. Let's get that in because we're down to maybe the last 4 minutes or so. How can someone who may not be aware of these services in Camden County, how can they come to get connected with your organization?
Sure. We have a new, newly designed website. It's www.camdencountyoeo.com.
Okay. That's pretty simple.
Yep.
Phone number?
My phone number is 856-962-6911. And email is mparker@cccoeo.com.
Oh, you really want to help folks.
Yeah, I'm here to help. I'm here to serve.
Now, your hours of operation?
9 to 5. Okay. We have summer hours that are 9 to 4. We'll be going back to 9 to 5 the 1st of September.
Now, I want to take you back a little bit because I think this is important, particularly for parents who may be listening or young folks who might be listening. At the outset of our conversation, you talked about a variety of internships. And, you know, if you could just share with our listeners how that shape built the foundation for you, and if those types of opportunities exist today, how would that change or impact the lives of youth in Camden?
Well, it definitely helped open the door for me to have the opportunity to work in my field, because I didn't know anyone to get into the field. Mm-hmm. And so my education and the internship experiences allowed me to be able to get the interview, you know, to have that opportunity to get into the position. So I definitely recommend that Camden youth go to college and also intern in the field that they're looking for, so that they get that valuable experience on their resume.
You know, not only the experience, but sometimes, you know, folks have a desire to go into various careers and without getting that firsthand look. And they'll say, you know, I want to be a nurse, or I want to be a mechanic. And
right.
They go right off to school, and then when they get into that field,
they see that they don't really like
absolutely.
it.
Absolutely. I don't mm-hmm. want to change bedpans. I don't want to deal with folks that are cranky. But, you know, once you sign up, you bought that. So I think that's good advice. Any other advice or information you want to share with our listeners as we're about to bring this conversation to a close?
Well, I just wanted to mention that Camden County OEO served over 17,000 clients last year.
Wow.
We have homeless prevention assistance programs, utility payment assistance programs, weatherization services for energy efficiency, the IDA program I mentioned, and the job placement and training program. So we have helped a lot of people over the years, and we're happy to provide our services.
So how many people work at this place? You got to have a lot of cooks in the kitchen to do
it. Yeah, we have 57 employees.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I thought it was just you.
No. Nope, almost 60 employees.
Well, that is fantastic. I mean, I've really enjoyed this conversation. And
thank you, I have too.
I've had the privilege to getting to know you and some of your colleagues because of the African American Chamber of Commerce partnership with the Department of Community Affairs, and just kind of facilitating workshops and trying to elicit ideas where we can to provide greater value to help contribute to the success of the participants in the program.
Yes. Which we also pass it on to our clients.
Well, we thank you so much. Again, your contact information, and we're going to bring this conversation to a close. I got about a little bit of time left. So
CamdenCountyOEO.com.
Well, thank you so much. You've listened to Ms. Majiba Salam Parker, Grants Manager at the Camden County OEO. And we thank you so much for appearing today on the Empowerment Hour.
You're welcome.
And we'll catch you next time around.
Have a great night.
You too. We encourage you every Monday, 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, to join us here on the Empowerment Hour, where we talk about, you know, business and things that are impactful, positively impactful in the community, here at 920thevoice.com and 920 a.m. And additional information can be found at aaccnj.com. And again, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm your host, John Harmon, President and CEO of the African American Chamber of Commerce of New Jersey. Don't take your listening for granted. We encourage you to join us, because you make the difference, and it's all about you. If you can, join us next Wednesday for our luncheon down at Mount Laurel at the Wyndham. And we'll see you next Monday, and have a good evening. Bye now.